How's everyone going? Craig, good to see you. The guys coming from the soccer match, did they win the tournament? Oh, man. Hey, these, well done. Well done to the young men. By God's grace, they'll play for Manchester City. And yes. No. City. It's really good to... Is Kim around? Kim, can you just get on the strings for me, please? Just give me a little ting, you know. Lighter. Yeah, good. Father, I thank you for your people, your precious people, that you love and you care for them. Each and every one of them, Lord God. You know, it says in Psalm 23 that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leads me beside still waters, and it goes on to say a whole lot of things, that he guides me with the rod and the staff, that he prepares a table in the presence of our enemies. Our cup overflows. And then he says he makes me to lie down, but then as it gets to the end, he said this, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And as I was driving here, I was asking, okay, Lord, you know, what is it that, of course, we're speaking on Philippians. But I just thought that, you know, what should be following us in our lives is goodness and what? Mercy. Unfortunately, at times, there are other things that are not goodness and mercy that follow us. There are things that seem to always creep up and follow us that are not that. Things that we've seen, patterns that we've observed in the life of our family, that is not goodness and mercy that is following us. There are other things at play. And so in Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, it says, you must not make for yourself an idol of any kind or image of anything in the heavens or on the earth. You must not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God who will not tolerate your affection for any other gods. He says, I lay the sins of the parents upon their children. The entire family is affected because of what somebody has done in the past. And then he says, even children in the third and fourth generations of those who reject me. This is why when we sing this thing about the name of Jesus, we actually need to understand what it means for you and I. That in Jeremiah chapter 31, Jeremiah 31, verse 29, he begins to explain, let me just turn there, Jeremiah 31, verse 29. You see, when Jesus came, he did away with the group punishment that people would experience in their lives. Because what we just read in Exodus was group punishment. You were punished because of what other people have done. But now Jesus came and did away with that it is no longer group punishment that is going to exist. This is why in verse 29 of Jeremiah 31, it says, the people will no longer quote this proverb, the parents have eaten sour grapes, but their children's mouths pucker at the taste. All people will die for their own sins. Those who eat the sour grapes will be the ones whose mouths will pucker. It's just like eating lemon. You know, you eat a raw lemon, it's sour. So he's saying that it's no longer, you will deal with your own sins. This is what Christ did for you and I. So what we have to understand, you see, is that Christ came and paid the price once and for all, because it says that it is only through the shedding of blood, may there be the remission of sins, where he paid the price. We then have to understand that I have to enforce what Jesus did for me on the cross, so that those things that follow me is only goodness and what? I have to be the enforcement agent where I say, this is what the cross of Jesus Christ did for me. If you begin to see patterns, and sometimes it's not dangerous things that we see, murderers in your family. No, we're not. We're, even if it's anger, that there is a certain type of anger that is not normal. And you know it's not normal because the day that you go off, you really go off. And when something triggers you, it goes from zero, you are at 1,000 very quickly. And it's not something that it just happens once. It happens regularly. But guess what? You saw that in your mother or your father. You possibly saw it in your grandparents, that there was something. So now you have to stand and enforce the victory of Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, this is what you have done for me. Let this thing not pass on to me because of what the blood of Jesus, the victory that it has won in your life. Because you know, you and I can play games, but nothing changes in our lives. Up until we start to actually enforce the victory of Jesus. Without that, we're going to be the same year in and year out. And my strong encouragement is that we would just hearken to the voice of the Lord and that you would examine and observe your family history and say, are there any patterns that I can see in my life that I saw in the life of my family? You just have to look at your brothers and sisters, see some of the stuff that they're going through. You begin to recognize that there are some themes of some of the same things that are happening. Because the enemy, your adversary, is not necessarily smart. All he does, let me just check out how I got his father, how I got his grandfather, and let me use that same trick on this guy. How I got his mother and his grandmother. He's going to just recycle. He's not into coming up into new innovation. He just goes for the same old. And so, please, I'll just ask in this moment, just take a deep breath and pause and reflect on your family life and see if there's any patterns that you notice and recognize that the blood of Jesus has done something for you. You have to enforce and you cry out for his mercy. This is why the scripture says in Hebrews that we can approach the throne room of God with boldness, where we will receive grace and mercy in the time of need. Grace and mercy is what we are calling on the Lord for, that he would have grace on us, that because of what Jesus did on the cross, there are certain things that you have observed were in your parents' life and they're in your life. If you don't deal with those things, your children are going to have to deal with them. So you might as well deal with them yourself so it doesn't pass on to your children. So, Father, I thank you for your people. I thank you, Lord God, for what the cross of Jesus did for us. That, Father, we would recognize that our position, we have not come, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, to a mountain where there was fear and trembling, but we have come to Mount Zion, to the city of God, and to the innumerable hosts. And we have come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant between God and man, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks forgiveness rather than the blood of Abel that cries out for vengeance. So, Father, we thank you that let the blood of Jesus speak on our behalf. It speaks forgiveness over our lives. We thank you, Lord God, that as we survey the things that have affected our family, Lord God, that, Lord, we would enforce the victory of Jesus, the transaction that was paid, because your word says that if any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, the old has passed away. And so, Father, we thank you, Lord God, that in our life we're supposed to experience goodness and mercy is what should follow us. But, Father, if there's other things that are following us, we say today that, Father, the victory of Jesus on the cross is what we rely on, and we enforce that victory in our lives and in our families' lives. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. when you observe certain things, I noticed that there was a bit of anger in me that I had a near disaster many months ago. And here I am. It was a wonderful day. We're going to my sister's place of business, and it's going to be great. Got out of the taxi, the Uber, and then all of a sudden, there was just a trigger. And I went for something happened. Somebody tripped Miss Guguletu. And so I turned around and I said to my son, "Are you the one who tripped her?" And he thinks he's a male lion, and so he protested. The moment he protested, something on the inside of me said, no, I gotta go after this. And I made a beeline for him. And as I made a beeline for him, and so now he thinks he's strong because he's been going to the gym, so he thought, he's strong as well. And so we tussled. And I say this because I'm trying to explain something. We tussled. And the funny thing is that the more he resisted, the more I was going for the jugular. Up until the mother had seen what was going on, and she tried to do what? Intervene, Fatal, big mistake. Not fatal, big mistake. As she intervened, she tripped and fell. And she hit her head on the floor. And then she started convulsing. And you know what normally happens? Now, all of a sudden, this is the first time I knew about blacking out, where you don't hear. I was in my own world. There was a viciousness that was behind what was happening. And so she's convulsing on the floor. And then Guguletu is there. She's screaming. And so I then said to one of the guys from my sister's work, "Please take them away." So she took her away. My son, obviously, he's now scared. He sees his mother is on the ground. And she's carrying on. I'm really scared. I am really, really scared. Then anyway, people came. Everybody coming. They obviously are starting to think that this man must have just, smacked his wife, which I did not. And eventually the ambulance came, and then she went to hospital, so on and so forth. Eventually, she's up and running, I guess. But I knew that day that something is not right. There was just this anger that it was like alive, that just rises up. This is where I'm saying that when you see patterns, things that are abnormal in your life, you have to go to the Lord and say, "Lord, I notice these issues. If there is anything, Lord God, in my history that is causing these things to happen, Father, forgive me. Forgive my ancestors, Lord God, so that these things no longer have to affect." Now, this is just anger we're talking about. And remember, actually, I had to go to hospital. So I had to pay for the ambulance. Then I got a bill for the hospital. So when we don't deal with patterns in our lives, there can be dire consequences. And I used to notice that my son, would get angry. There was always this. Each time, I recall over the years when my grandfather would send him, his fist would always be clenched. He just could not control himself. Up until I prayed to the Lord after this incident, I remember saying in the, kids' apology, I said, "Look, this is all me. This is all me. It's got nothing to do with you. Dad, I'm sorry." I said, no, this is all me. And I told my kids that night that what you experienced today, I should not have done. And so, as it were, I said, "I have my therapist appointment when I go to, when I get back to Perth, I will see my therapist." But on top of that, I went and I saw the Lord to say, "Lord, if there's anything that is causing this stuff, I'll kid you not." I'm not saying I've never been angry before. I don't think I necessarily have those, that crazy kind of stuff, and I never see my son, you know, like, yeah, he gets angry, but it's not that anger that's alive that wants to do harm. So when we talk about the blood of Jesus, that there's certain observations that you need to make in your family's life, in your family's history, and go to the Lord and say, Father, Exodus says this, that this is the punishment. But Jeremiah says everybody's got to deal with their own what? Their own issues. So this is why you find that when he says that the people said, no longer will you say that the parents, the grapes of the parents, and then the children are the ones that are impacted by the sour grapes. This is what the cross of Jesus has done for you and I. So we need to ensure that we have to enforce what the Lord has done. Amen. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that Lord Jesus died and paid the price. We were not bought, Lord God, with things that are corruptible like silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Jesus, we look to you, the victory that you won on the cross for us, that we are a new creation. And Father, Lord, that the law, the old law, no longer applies to us because we are new. We were crucified with Christ. And as you see us, you see Jesus, and that all these things, legal things, the legal transaction that Jesus did on the cross where he paid the penalty for our sin. Father, we see ourselves, Lord God, not being impacted by the things that have followed our families. And Lord, surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell in the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Mrs. Kim. Put your hands together for Kim. So over the last few weeks, we've been journeying through the book of Philippians. We've been journeying through the book of Philippians. In week number one, we looked at Paul's introduction. He says, Paul and Timothy, slaves of Jesus Christ. True freedom comes when we completely yield to Jesus' lordship over our lives. And you know what? All of us are going to have to answer the lordship question. Because I get my award at the Grammys. Steven the rapper, you know, I get my award. I'm talking about rap lyrics. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to do all that kind of stuff. And then I get to get my award. And the first thing that you'll observe is that I'll say, I would like to thank the Lord Jesus Christ and God for all making all these things possible. But you see, the things that I espouse in my music are completely contrary to what the gospel says. So the question I've got to understand is that this is why, you see, when we read the book of Philippians, he said Christ Jesus, because he's recognizing his lordship and that he's our Messiah and not Jesus Christ. There's a difference. So Christ Jesus, I'm recognizing his role as Lord over my life, that he's Messiah, he came and he saved me, and not Jesus Christ, which is just saying the man that walked the earth. This is why we have to answer that lordship question. Is he really Lord over my life? So I can know him as my Savior. He saved me. But do I know him as my Lord? Big difference. We all are going to have to face that challenge. Who is the Lord over my life? Sometimes, you know, I'll leave it at that. So anyway, we have to answer that question. And then last week we talked about, we moved from identity to process, where Paul says that him who began a good work in you will see it to completion. But one of the things we said is that, yes, God will do that in our lives. But guess what? In fact, we sort of like said, there's nothing that God does that is not complete. He finishes everything that he starts. However, we added this extra element that there is a self-examination that is required if we are going to, we have to participate in the process of transformation. That it is not just all on God. We think, you know what, the Lord Jesus did it all, so I don't have to do anything. No. This is why the scripture, I think, I don't know, it's in Psalm somewhere. It says, if I had not confessed the sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Now, what did it say? If what? If I. And what is the operative word there? I. So that tells me that I have got to participate in this process. And this is why we said that if five or six people come and say that, hey, your attitude stinks, guess what? Your attitude stinks. You got to deal with it. It's not just about, oh, there's something wrong with them or they're jealous of me. No, your attitude stinks. So that means you have to participate in the process of transformation. If you want to see real change in your life, you have to engage with the Lord. One thing we do know is that I had better do a bit of the self-examination myself before he does. Because you know what normally happens? If I don't do the self-examination when I'm growing up and I'm going about my life, and then I get elevated to my position, to a position, I will be exposed. So self-examination is your responsibility to engage in the process of transforming your life. It's not just on everybody else to do stuff. It's, hey, Lord, what is it that you're saying to me? Everybody seems to be saying I'm grumpy. They don't know me, that I'm not grumpy. No, you are grumpy. Because five people are saying it. Surely they can't all be wrong. So I have to engage in the process of transformation. So this week, I want to build, and I'm going to carry this forward into next week. I want to build, you know, something I mentioned about from Acts 17:11 about a group of people called the Bereans. The Bereans were called noble because what they did is that they received the word of God with eagerness and they examined the scriptures daily. And the reason they did that, they wanted to see, they were happy to hear the word of God because it will change you. But they wanted to see whether what these guys were saying was true, what Paul was saying was true. So anything that I say, if I gave you, I quoted a few scriptures today. If you're writing them down, let me just see if this guy is telling the truth. Because maybe I'm lying. There isn't a scripture that says, if I had not confessed this sin in my heart. But I mean, you have to go check it out to see. Because if you take everything that I say scripturally and think, oh yeah, it must be true, you have to do some self-examination. Because the word says that faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And then there's this scripture in John 6, verse 68, where Jesus had just said that you should eat of my body, you should eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. And it says that many people were offended by that. And it says that people stepped away from the faith. And whilst when they did that, he says many people deserted him and left because they said, what is this nonsense this man is saying? And so they left. And Jesus turned to the disciples and said, do you want to leave as well? This is why in verse 68 of John 6, he says, Peter then responds to the Lord and says, Lord, he says, when many walked away from Jesus, Peter said, Lord, where else would we go? For you have the words of what? Eternal life. You have to understand that Peter was a fisherman. He had run a small fishing, I don't know how big it was, but he ran some enterprise. But there was something about Jesus' life that when he encountered and he engaged with Jesus, this is what happened. It transformed him where he said, look, I know the stuff that I know, but that don't mean anything. Because what you have is what I need. Where else can I go? Because you have the words of what? Eternal life. And this just didn't mean that one day I'll get to heaven and I'll live on forever. That is true. It's like there's the life of God in us now that is shaping us, that is guiding us, and that is sustaining us. Because whenever Christians arrive in a workplace, the workplace should get better. Because something good has been added. Now, if you arrive and it stays the same, yes, then we've got some problems. That the level, the boss should be able to trust you with the checkbook. Because he knows that, hey, there's something solid about these people. But when all of a sudden that there can't be that level of trust in the workplace, we are constantly, lunch is an hour, and we go for 2.5. Or tea break is 15, no, smoko is 15 minutes, we go for 30. That tells us that there's something. Because, you see, what they should be able to accuse you of is not that other stuff. The only thing that they should have against you is your religion. So Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego showed us the way. Because it said that when all the other enchanters and sorcerers in, Babylon, they were jealous that these guys were elevated. And so what they did is that, you know what, they probably said, you know what, let's throw a few things at him. Let's throw a bit of drink, some beer, alcohol. Daniel and them guys were like, we good. They threw, they must have, tried everything under the sun to test them. They couldn't get them. Then they said, we know. Let's hit them with their religion. Because every day they saw them praying. He used to pray, open the windows. So now you see that it's not like we, here in the New Testament, we say, go to the secret place. What Daniel did is that he went to the open place. He would open his window. So it was exposed. He was exposing himself. And so they knew that Daniel prayed at a certain time. And so they went to the king and they came up with a plan to say, if anybody doesn't bow down to you, then they all need to be thrown into the what? The lion's den. They could only get him because of his what? Religion. This is what happens when people of God arrive at a place. That the only thing they can accuse you of is your religion. Not that you steal money, not that you steal time, that you're dishonest, but hey, because of your religion, that's how they'll get you. And that's how they're going to get all of us. But we have to stand resolute, like what Daniel did. So this is what, where can we go because you have the words of eternal life? We have to understand that the word of God is so integral in our lives. You know, the pressure that is on these young people. Because there's things that are available to them that were not available to us. Now, when we were growing up, we had our own stuff to deal with. But it was sporadic. You'd have to search out to look at, to do certain things. Now, it's readily available. On the click of the fingers, it's there. But guess what? The word of God is something for them. That the words of Jesus will shape their future. When the world is shouting out 1,000 voices and 1,000 things for them to become. The word of God has hope for them. To those of us, that we've, the older among us, the words of Jesus have eternal life because they give us meaning and legacy and hope beyond the years that we've already lived. That yes, there is still a striving that we have to do for the kingdom of God. If we're dealing with relationship issues, his word, or grappling with life, his word brings restoration, it brings healing, and it brings direction in our lives. And so his word as well, if we're caught in sin, there's certain things that just grip you, they've hooked you in. The thing is that sin promises a whole lot of stuff. You see, it's a terrible master, because once you're hooked, you're hooked. But guess what? Jesus' words do not condemn us and help us to get stuck. But what they do is that it calls us into a life of freedom. This is why he said to the woman that they had come to, she had committed adultery. They said, it wasn't with the husband, so kill her. And then the Lord said, he without sin cast the what? First stone. Eventually, all the guys disappeared. It was just Jesus and the woman. And he said, where are your accusers? And he says, they're gone. And then he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin what? Sin no more. This is what the words of Jesus does for us. So as we are continuing the book of Philippians, it's got four chapters, but now this is already week number three. We've only done like 15 verses. My prayer is that this will awaken within us a deep hunger and a desire for the word of God. That let us be those that search the scriptures every day. Lord, what is it that you're saying to me through your word? Let us be like Peter, we are clinging to Jesus, that only he has the words of eternal life. Because storms in our life, if they're not here, they are coming. And so we have to hold on for dear life. And I think there are times where we all have to make a personal decision and say, come what, I am going to stand with the Lord no matter what comes my way. And so guess what happens? We will always get tested at our conviction level. Do you really believe what it is that you say? But we know that what God started in us, he will complete. We just, we cling on. There is no other hope. For my family, I've told my kids, hey, this, you might be thinking and tripping about this God thing. This is it. I ain't going back. Not where we've come from. Not where we've come from, the struggles we faced. Not because of my own doing, but because of the doing of others. And I'm just, I'm the fool guy. I'm just dealing with those issues. So I said, this Jesus thing, up until the end, I'm riding. The only question is that, you're riding or what? If you're not riding, well, it's on you. But for me, this is what I'm doing. We have to get to that deep conviction level. This is what Paul, when he's telling us in the book of Philippians, that, hey, no more time for games. I am a slave. Now, even if you read the book, you see, in Acts, he was on his way. And I'll just get the team to get up. We're finished. We're finishing. And I'll just indulge me that as Paul was going to Damascus to go and say, I'm going to kill these Christians. I'm going to kill these Christians. He encountered the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, who are you, Lord? And he says, it is I, Jesus, the one whom you persecute. And then from that moment, Paul, God visited a man named Ananias and said to him, go and Paul and go and tell him. And what he actually said to Ananias says, go and tell him the things. In fact, he says, I will show him the things that he must suffer for me. And ever since that moment, the life of Paul was not the same. We have to be resolute in our desire for the Lord. Like never before. We're not straddling two worlds. It is just the Lord and the Lord alone. So Father, let's just stand this morning. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your kindness. We thank you that you care for each and every one of us. Like Paul. Father, let us align our lives to you. That there is hope in the name of Jesus. That there is no other way for us, Lord God. May we decide in our hearts that Jesus is the only way. We will not choose any other way. That till the day that we die, we will follow Jesus. No turning back. That as we would learn from the life of Paul, is that as he encountered you, there was no turning back. That he was willing to be called a slave of Christ Jesus. So Father, I give you all the praise and all the glory. And as we leave this place, I'm just going to invite all of us to say this prayer. Whether you've said it 1,000 times or 2,000 times, it don't matter. But just this prayer of inviting the Lord into your life. But even for those of us that know the Lord, is to say, Lord, search my heart and see if there's any way offensive in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Align your heart with the Lord. So repeat after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins and choose to follow you all the days of my life. Lord, I align my life with yours. I only recognize what Jesus did for me on the cross. That he's not only my Savior, but he's my Master. Help me to live like Paul. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer, aligning your heart with the Lord, or even for the first time, just come and see me afterwards, and we'll, you know, read some, we'll give you some words, talk to you about the decision that you've made. Father, I just thank you, Lord God, for your people this morning, that as they leave this place, that their hearts would be aligned with Jesus, that they would not know him just as the Savior, but they would know him as their Lord. Give them the strength, Lord God, to follow you, even when it is hard, even when their friends laugh at them, even when it's not popular, that they would follow you and be like even Peter, who says, where can we go? Because you have the words of eternal life. So Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory. And everyone says, God bless you, church. If you need prayer, please come to the front. Have a wonderful week. We'll sing and then go.
Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is life. You break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire.
Shout Jesus.
Shout Jesus from the mountains. Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets. Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Have a wonderful week, everybody. Praise God in everything you do. See you next week.